Welcome, officially, we're beginning our study. And the title of tonight's study is Salvation Celebration.
You spelled it wrong.
Revelation, no, I already spell checked it, thanks, Les. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, which is it's the whole chapter. And so, as always, I'd like to pray before and ask the Lord to bless the teaching of His Word. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you, Lord, for such a privilege as we have here, Lord, and I pray we see the blessing of getting together with brothers and sisters and looking in your word and just growing in the knowledge and grace, as the Apostle Peter says, and that's what we want to do, Father, and we just pray that you would be with us here, that your Holy Spirit would be bringing comfort but conviction where needed, and we're praying for also for all the ministries and in the families and all the servants here, Lord, that just want to make your known, lift up your name, share your gospel, and experience your love. Father, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Israel.
And we pray for Israel. Yes, always, Father. We always want to pray for Israel and all our brothers and sisters around the world, Lord. Yeah. We pray for them that you comfort them in all their different trials. Yeah. Of you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
A lot of Jewish people in Israel are converted to Christianity.
Yeah?
Yeah, a lot.
I think they have like a 20% population.
Yeah.
Well, like you said earlier, only God knows.
Only God knows.
Only God knows. But we know that God is working.
He's working.
That's the main thing. He's working. So, last week, obviously, I wasn't here.
You were in Italy.
And, after that. And John, obviously, taught chapter 4. Mm-hmm. And this was right after the letters to the churches. Mm-hmm. We discussed 1, 2, 3. And as we mentioned before, at this point, a lot of historians, theologians, teachers, pastors believe that the church has been raptured, taken up to meet the Lord. And so now, the church is no longer now on earth.
On earth.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Some people believe that, you said.
I believe that.
What?
I believe that that from here on out, starting in chapter 4, I wasn't here last week.
Yeah.
It said, for instance, it says here, chapter 4, we're not going to go through it, but just some things I want to mention. John says, after these things, mm-hmm. and again, I'm assuming that this point, the church has been taken up to meet the Lord in the air, and then after these things, that's the position I'm taking, and a lot of serious theologians and
only preachers. Knows.
If you guys think not,
No, that's not what I meant.
Okay.
I thought you were talking about in present times, everybody believes that the church has been raptured already. And I was saying, wait.
No, I mean at this point.
At this point in Revelation.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys, of course, I love to hear the comments, questions, I'm assuming that, for the most part. And then here he says, after these things, I looked and behold, I'm reading now from Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. John is saying, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Mm-hmm. So, again, this is my position, and I think this is the church's position, mm-hmm. and again, that now the church is out of the picture. And we start to see a celebration here, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And John taught, as for we see this a spectacular scenery, there's images of these creatures, and again, this is what John taught last week, and there's some amazing things that are happening around the throne, right? As you guys discussed that last week, and so it ends with an amazing worship and celebration ceremony taking place. And so now here we go, chapter 5, let's read through it, and then we're going to look at the verses more closely.
All right.
Okay? So then, and, I'll pause it, because after this, John says, and I saw in the right hand and the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" Mm-hmm. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. Mm-hmm. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals."
That's Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes. "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' And then the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever." Wow. Quite a scene.
Amen.
Right?
That's awesome.
Quite a scene taking place. Okay. So, in your notes, there.
Thank you, brother.
In your notes there, let's go now. We're going to look at these verses more closely. Verse 1. See, scroll, you're in your notes. I put there the scroll. "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." A scroll. What do you guys think of when you hear the word scroll? What comes to mind when you hear the word scroll?
Writing.
A writing.
A book.
And some verses say book.
Right.
A book. Mm-hmm. Okay. But as far as its significance, like, what do you think? When you hear a scroll, like...
A record?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the scroll. Yeah, you have that. I should have maybe... Like an artist.
Your time.
Yeah, right? Have you seen those? Yeah, it's like a long thing. And this was... This is how they preserved the writings back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have mass printing till.
It was something precious too, because not everybody had a scroll. It was
hard
to obtain.
Very precious.
Only certain people had access to it.
Yes, yeah. And it was scarce. It wasn't like, and so it was very precious, and so valuable, so important. Mm-hmm. And they had these what they called scribes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And these, I've heard that the detail that they took. Mm-hmm. That's why when people say, "How do you know the Bible is true and it's been around thousands of..." They have no idea what people had to do to preserve it.
All that.
Just the way a letter was even written.
They found a Bible in Israel over 2,000 years old
mm-hmm.
with the Old Testament and the New Testament together.
They found it when?
Oh, about 6-7 months ago.
Oh, okay. No, I think you told me about that.
Yeah, I told you about that.
So I heard, okay, so yeah, that's good. But listen to this. And this, I got this, I got this from the internet. And it's, I just think it, so the way that, and this is, I guess it's, AI overview, is that, you guys were familiar with that?
Oh,
yeah.
But anyway, look what it says here. It says, in the Bible, a scroll symbolizes the authority of God's word,
mm-hmm.
divine revelation, and the permanence of God's covenants. It represents a tangible form of God's message, whether through prophets like Jeremiah, in Jesus' reading of the law and the prophets, or in the sealed scrolls of
Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
The act of unrolling a scroll often signifies the unveiling of truth and the fulfillment of promises.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's so well said.
So, I want you to look at just this scroll, just a piece. This is
the scroll.
The scroll.
Where apparently God has his plan for redemption.
Yeah.
Were these scrolls made out of papyrus?
Well, yeah.
Or is that the Egyptian?
They were animal skin.
Yeah.
The Dead Sea scrolls lasted
thousands
of years. They were thousands of years.
So what
before Christ.
I mean, I heard of papyrus. I mean.
Yeah, that's from the plants that grow on the Nile.
God's
that's
holding
paper.
Onto the scrolls.
It's paper, but it's Egyptian
vellum,
paper.
Vellum, sheepskin, that's what they call it.
Yeah.
You know, when you graduate from college, you got a sheepskin back in the day. Now you just get whatever. Mm. Fancy paper, but anyway, yeah.
Well, they stood
but
the
it would last a long time,
yeah,
especially
preserved.
In a dry cave in the yeah. desert.
Mm-hmm. The Dead Sea Scrolls were a huge,
yeah.
huge discovery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's like, I guess they did the...
And the cool thing is that they were found by a Muslim boy throwing a rock into a cave
mm-hmm.
right after
yes.
Israel founded the country, so mm-hmm. the Muslims could not come up and say, they planted all these there because they found so many of them. Because the boy threw the rock and he was,
mm-hmm.
was Islam. He
I
was
didn't
Muslim.
Know that. I didn't
yeah.
know that's how they were
yeah.
discovered. I just know it was just...
In the same year that Israel, that they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, is when the earthquake occurred in Armenia, or those mountains, and that's when the Noah's Ark was discovered.
Wow.
In the same year. So it's like God saying, here, let me give you some more hints that I'm real and this something's really
wow.
going to happen.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. So yeah, this is significant.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important, and I don't want to just to run past this. And this scroll contained God's plan for the redemption of mankind and creation.
Mm-hmm.
And this plan of redemption that he had already purposed before the creation of the world. Let's go to Ephesians 1. See what I'm talking about. Plan for redemption existed even before the world began. So we're going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. I'll pause here a second because, you know, and I don't mean to split hairs, but, you know, sometimes, you know, we present the gospel and, you know, you accept Christ, you know, which
mm-hmm.
technically it's to believe on him, to
mm-hmm.
receive, to accept.
Right.
But the gospel is the fact that God accepts you
mm-hmm.
on the basis of Christ. That's the beauty of the gospel. He made you accepted. God accepts you as a sinner redeemed through faith in the blood of Christ, by grace.
By grace. You know, when I was a kid, My mom and her dad used to take me to the Christian movies they used to have back then in the 50s and the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Of Kings of Kings.
Yes.
All those beautiful
From the
movies.
50s, yeah.
It was great. Beautiful. I saw all those movies.
Ben-Hur.
My favorite. All of them.
My favorite.
Yeah.
So this is a plan that God had even before the world began. Now let's continue. It says, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he, again, God, made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, it looks like we're close. Looks like this is where we're at. In Revelation.
Dispensation?
In the fullness, under the dispensation.
Dispensation?
Of, what did I say? Did I pronounce it wrong?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That in the dispensation of the fourth answer, of the fullness of the times, he may gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. This is what's contained in the scroll. And this is what we are a part of, what we get to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. That's the Holy Seal. It's like a holy seal.
Yeah. Mm. This is what but now John is getting in heaven, God is showing him, look, this is how this all came. This is all came to pass. So this almost indescribable and wonderful scene that we started to see in chapter 4 in Revelation, and we're going to continue to see in chapter 5, was orchestrated from the beginning of time. So let's go back to Revelation. So the scroll is there. It's presented. Verse 2, Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I, John, wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it.
So he was weeping in the spirit in his dream or whatever he was seeing. He didn't suddenly zap back to full lucidness and then he was crying, right? Because at this point he's still in this dream where he's been taken to another place. So in the dream,
well, God is showing him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I would think. Yeah.
Whether it's a dream or he had an out-of-body experience.
That's the right adjective. Let's use a different adjective.
Well, I mean,
in this vision that he was going through, that he was...
I like that. That's him. The vision.
He's
seeing that.
He's expressing the feeling of crying in the vision because he's not...
Yes.
He was out of the body.
I mean, we don't know. I like the fact that it was a vision. He was seeing it.
He saw everything.
But God showed him this vision.
Jesus showed him everything.
Well, this is the final revelation. And this is why... You know, we get to take it slow and, again, not look at Revelation like, okay, this is Revelation and nothing else matters. No, we look at Revelation, but we look at the other Revelation,
right,
which is all the other books, and try to put, you know, I've shared this in my Sunday class. I think I've shared here. When we study Scripture, look at all the pieces have to fit. And they should fit. Mm-hmm. I see them. I'm not going to tell you about everything I read. But for the most part, all the pieces fit together.
Right.
Now, my mom and her mom, rest in peace, they used to love to do crossword puzzles.
Yeah.
That was their thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, you you know, someone had helped them, right? Remember who helped them? And sometimes you can see, like, this piece doesn't fit. You want to
jam it in there?
You want to jam it? We do that. We want everything to fit. And we, you know, it has to fit. Don't force it.
Even in the New Testament, it's written in the Sibylline and other chapters that I see, all the things that are going to happen in Revelation is written there.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is. Yeah. Yes, of course. Yeah. Of course. Okay. So, so John is weeping. Mm-hmm. And he's not just weeping. He wept much. Why? Because no one or nothing was found worthy to open the scrolls, or it says even to even look at it. Mm-hmm. John sensed deep in his heart what he was seeing, what he sensed, the utter hopelessness of a doomed humanity and creation. Mm-hmm. He knew also this from Scripture. Let's go to Psalm 49. John is sensing somehow, wow, who's going to be able to do this? No one is found worthy, because no one could be worthy. And look what it says here in Psalm 49. 49, verses 6 through 8. It says, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly. The idea is, no matter how much money you have, no matter who you are, no one can do anything.
No, you can't buy your way.
No,
and you can't work your way.
There's no way.
You go to heaven by the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yes, yes. So he sensed that. He sensed that, and he saw it, and he knew it. He must have known it. He was hopeless indeed. But then, you ever see those YouTube videos? Wait for it. You gotta wait for it.
I always jump to that part to see it.
Wait for it. Okay. Wait for it. We're gonna have a moment here. Mm-hmm. So going back to Revelation chapter 5, John says, "I wept much. I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to even look at it." But verse 5, one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." Mm-hmm. The Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David can be nobody. No, who else? Who are we talking about here?
Jesus.
Right? Obvious. Of course. Hallelujah. Jesus has prevailed. Verse 6. Let's continue there. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and in the four and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. And then he came, took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. So, in your notes there, I put, who is worthy? Of course, Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ himself. Yeah. He is worthy. He is, in your notes there, you put, I see there, he is the worthy rescuer.
Yeah.
Yes, he is the Lamb.
He is the Lamb.
Remember when he was going to get baptized?
Yeah.
And John says, here comes the Lamb of God.
Here comes the Lamb of God.
Sins of the world.
And then the dove came from heaven and landed on him.
Yeah.
Al, last week when you weren't here, I mentioned, because it spoke about the seven spirits in chapter 4. And I said, do these seven spirits relate to the seven angels from the churches? Mm. And now that I read this, I think even more that it does, because the seven churches doesn't represent just the churches. It represents the church and the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what's taking place.
And the seven angels are examples of all our things that happen to everybody all over the world. Mm-hmm. And here it says the seven spirits were sent out into all the earth.
Were sent out. Sent. Mm-hmm. I think the key is pressed. Yes, these are the seven. Those So those seven spirits that God was sending out to the seven churches to warn them, to rebuke them, to discipline them. Remember, this is before they're taken up. Now they're taken up. So these seven spirits are now in this scenery that we're looking at. This amazing scenery we're witnessing. So,
want some water?
Everyone's there.
That's a baby cough.
Everyone's there. Everyone's there, right? We'll get more into that a little bit.
We're forgiven for all our sins.
Well, that's the point. That's what we're going to see that. Yeah. We're going to see that. So, let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. You can put a marker there because we're going to pretty much, the next couple of verses, we're going to come back there a couple of times. So,
I got Hebrews already.
So, under your outline there, I have he's a worthy rescuer because when they ask the question, who's worthy, we just saw in Revelation, they mentioned Jesus in different ways, right? The root of David. It's obviously him. But why is he worthy? So many reasons, but look at one of the reasons here. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of some things?
All things.
All things. Through whom he also made the what?
World.
The worlds. Does anybody have universe?
No. No? Our world.
I think so. I got worlds plural.
I got universe.
Universe? He made the universe. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the power, by the word of his power. I mean, are you getting this? I think worthy is like, yeah, okay, we get it. But look here. This is the part. Upholding all things by the word of his power when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high.
Right.
Yeah, he's more than worthy. Mm-hmm. He is more than worthy. So Jesus purged, redeemed us, redeemed creation, sat down by the at the right hand of the Father, of the majesty. I love how that said. Sat down at the right hand of the majesty. That's why he is our worthy rescuer. And that is why he is also worthy to receive praise, acclaim, honor, glory, and yes, even worship. And that we see taking places now as we continue. Go back to Revelation. Remember, leave a marker in Hebrews. We're going right back to Hebrew. Let's go back to Revelation.
That was pretty interesting to see that Jesus, in verse 5, he's the lion, and then in verse 6, he's the lamb.
Phenomenal.
Right.
Phenomenal. I remember a movie a long time ago. I think I shared this before. It's one of those apocalyptic movies, you know. They take certain things, but, you know. But anyway, for the point I want to make, these are just catastrophic things that are happening on Earth. I mean, it was just awful, awful. If I remember anything about it, I think Demi Moore. This is like 20-something
years. It's called the Seven Seals.
Yes.
The Seven Seals.
You see that? You remember that? Remember that? I mean, it was just phenomenal, the way they did it. The
special effects?
The special effects was brilliant. And there was a part where all this devastation is going on, and somebody asked the question, I forgot who the characters were, but they said, but I thought he was a lamb. And they said, well, the first time he came as a lamb. Now he's coming as a lion. Yeah. And we're going to kind of see a little bit of that take place. But for now, we're celebrating. We are celebrating what? God's plan of redemption, which was purchased by Christ himself, earned it only himself by giving his life, shedding his blood, and redeeming humanity and creation. So now, is he worthy to open? Yes, he certainly is. I hope. I mean, we can go on and on.
He is.
We can go on and on. But now he's worthy to receive praise, glory, and even worship. So let's go to verse 8 now in Revelation chapter 5. And I put continuation there on your because worship was beginning already in chapter 4. So here we go. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls of incense, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are what? Worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Mm-hmm. So, in chapter 4, we see the living creatures, right? And the elders worshiping, and the angels worshiping God and Christ for his creation.
Yes.
But now they're worshiping him here for his redemption. So he's a creator, and he's our redeemer. It's almost embarrassing to even ask the question, is he worthy?
He is worthy. He died for our sins.
Yes.
And God rose him on the third day. Hmm. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's all him. And it says, I think Colossians says, everything was made by him, through him, and for him. So I put continuation again, as I mentioned, because we see this continue to take. That's why I call this is salvation celebration here. This is salvation celebration taking place. Okay. Now.
And Jesus hears our prayers.
Of course.
He heard my prayer. Pastor Chip kept my testimony. He taped it. He still has it kept at his house.
Mm-hmm.
My testimony.
Nice. I got to hear that because you mentioned that. I got to hear that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that's okay with you.
All right.
Huh? Okay. So, this new song they're singing, right? For his redemption. Mm-hmm. Purchased how? By his blood. And he redeemed every tribe, every tongue, every people, and nation. Every. Is anybody missing there? Nobody's missing. Everyone.
Covered everyone.
Yes. And here's the interesting part. I want to ask this question here. It says, "And he made us kings and priests to our God," verse 10, Revelation, "and we shall reign on the earth." We're going to reign with him on the earth, right? We've discussed that before.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Mm-hmm. On the earth. When's that going to happen?
1,000 years.
1,000 years. We're going to be in a new earth.
When Jesus comes to establish.
And then it's going to be a new Jerusalem.
That's at the end.
At the end.
That's after.
That's after. Yeah. But it says you're going to reign with him on the earth. Will it happen before the tribulation, during the tribulation, or after the tribulation? You could. Yeah. You're not going to get graded here.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, Eric.
If you could bet in Vegas, I'd take the after.
The after. Okay. And again, we're going to see this more clearly. Don't think, we're going to.
And Jesus is going to sit on the new throne in the new Jerusalem, and David's going to sit next to him.
During the millennial reign.
Yeah.
We will be reigning with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's why it says earth and heaven. Huh?
Those who live in humanly bodies and are born during that time, for some expression to the grand court of the universe, we'll get one more chance to reject.
Yeah, that's at the end. Yeah. Okay. We're good so far?
Yes.
Right?
High five.
Okay. So, we will reign during his millennial reign. All right.
Wasn't that one of those sentences in the Hallelujah chorus in the Messiah music thing from the 15th century or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Someone say it, I remember that line.
Going back to Hebrews, I put there Hebrews. I didn't put a line.
2:9.
Okay, 2:9. So here we go. Right?
Right.
Worthy to receive, to continue to receive worship. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, if somebody wants to read it, they're there. Go ahead.
For we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of the death, and crowned with glory and honor, and that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone.
For everyone.
For everyone.
For everyone. He tasted death for everyone. Mm-hmm. Was crowned with glory and honor by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Guys, I can't imagine. I can't imagine what John is seeing here.
Imagine living in those days and seeing Jesus doing all the miracles.
Yes, but this is finally, this is the culmination, which we're going to see now. So let's go back to Revelation, and we'll see there under your notes, I put culmination. It's coming together. Everyone in everything. Revelation, we'll go ahead and read from... well, let's go back and start reading in verse 11.
All right.
Pinnacle of worship. Everyone, everything, creation, redemption, participate. Let's go here. Look what it says. Verse 11. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. So who's leading the charge there, it looks like? Angels are mentioned first. Angels.
Angels.
Angels. Much more powerful than us. Angels. Let's go to Hebrews. I told you, go back to Hebrews. Back to Hebrews.
Hebrews.
Thank you, Hebrews. Thank you. Should I say Paul who wrote Hebrews? Right? That's still up for debate.
No, nobody knows
who nobody wrote knows, Hebrews. Yes. Hey, look at that. Mm-hmm. But we know who was the author, the Holy Spirit, right?
I heard it was written 300 years after the death of Christ, Hebrew.
Bless you. Okay, so look at this. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. But when he again brings, remember this is all about Christ. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God what?
Worship
him.
Mm-hmm.
And they so this is one way that Jesus, among many ways, some people, for me this is a big one, that he distinguishes himself from any other prophets, or teachers, or great people. God alone, says only he, worship God alone, right? That's that's a big thing in God's eyes. You know, the Israelites, given the Ten Commandments, you got one God alone, him alone you should worship.
Yeah.
And yet, when Jesus was on earth and they offered him worship, they tried to worship Peter and John?
Mm-hmm.
And what'd they say?
Don't worship us.
Don't do me. Don't worship us. No. Don't. Paul? Angels?
Mm-mm.
And yet Jesus never refused worship, ever. He's worthy. He is God in the flesh, on equal footing. You'll have to get to heaven for him to explain it to you. I don't have to explain it. That's what the Bible teaches. You either receive it by faith and let the peace of God come for you, or you struggle with it. And I know a lot of people struggle with it. They can't. I forgot to mention this. Let's go back. In verse 7, Revelation, right? Verse 7.
Revelation.
It says, then he, who's the he? It's capitalized.
Yeah.
That's Christ. Came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him, capitalized, who sat on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I forgot.
Explain that.
God had it.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But they're one. They're the same. And yet here, they're worshiping the Lamb. They're worshiping. All right, so going back to Revelation, as we come towards the end, we're going to have some time to share and maybe ask some questions.
It says he sat on the right hand of him, meaning God the Father.
Yeah.
And so if he got the right hand.
Yeah, somebody, he took the scroll.
Jesus is seated at the right hand, as it says, at the right hand of the
Father. The majesty, yeah. But he took the scroll, because he's, remember, he says, who's able? And he went and took the scroll. And he opened it, and he loosed the seals, and looked inside. Boom, yes, this is redemption, salvation. He gave it back. No, he took the, no, it says he came and took the scroll. Out of the, no, this is him taking the scroll, right?
Out of the right hand.
Out of the right hand who, of him who sat on the throne, which is obviously God.
God.
Right.
Yeah, it's God.
Yeah. So, going back to verse...
okay, I want to point something out.
Yes, go ahead.
Verse 6. And I saw between the throne... Hold on a second. Who's on the throne? It's God. But now... I saw between the throne the Lamb that was slain.
Been slain.
So it's talking about the same entity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a Lamb who had been slain, had been slain. He's not slain no more.
No.
Risen.
Jesus was the Lamb.
The Lion. Mm-hmm. He's a Lion and he's a Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
No, obviously it's Christ. Obviously it's Jesus.
But again, it's very interesting to see it.
Yeah.
5 and 6.
And this is where the cults come in and go, oh, look, you know, no, God is, you know, I'll never forget one day I was early in my walk with the Lord, and I think it was a Hare Krishna, and it was, you know, I'm there delivering my mail, and he's walking, and he's passing out a book, and I, you know, I like talking to people. I you know, I learn. Mm-hmm. So I says, hey, you know what? You know, oh, look, I have this book to get you how to get close to God. And here, we'll give it away. And I just said, well, ask him a simple question. I said, well, you're offering a way for people to get close to God. And he used some terminology. He goes, yeah, because see, we believe God is here and we're here, but we're postgraduate. I'll never forget that word. We have a postgraduate relationship to allow you to get close to God. And all I said was, but I think you know where I'm going with this. I go, well, according to the Bible, it says there's only one way, only one mediator.
It's Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ. And he just went like this. Have a nice day.
Did he?
What was it?
That happened to me too, where I was.
How do you explain that? How are you going to get notes?
I go, thank God, there's one God you worship. I go, the God of heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what the guy did? Turn around and left.
Yeah. That's it. So, yeah, we were in verse 11. We talked about the angels, and I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Verse 13, and every creature, which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying,
wow,
blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Forever and ever. And verse 14, then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Wow. What a scene.
Yeah.
What a celebration taking place here. And guess what? We're going to be there.
Yeah.
We're going to see that. Mm-hmm. Look at this, thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Saying with a loud word, we're going to be there.
We're blessed. We're
absolutely
forgiving. Yeah.
Absolutely. In the final verse we're going to look at.
We're not the same people that we were before. We're not.
Of course not. No, we shouldn't be.
No, we're not.
Yeah. Also, oh, wait, I got one more verse in Hebrew before we go to... Well, go to... I'll read it. Go to Psalm 96.
I got it already.
Mm-hmm. No, Psalm.
Psalm 96.
Psalm 96, okay. Yeah, before you read that, look what it says in Hebrews 1. 6. You are my son. Okay, never mind. I must have
Now let's go to Psalm 96. So everyone's going to be there worshiping him. Angels.
Already read it.
Yeah, that's the one that says that all the angels of God worship him.
Mm. Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
No,
yes.
Okay.
No, that's right. I was looking at verse 3. That's why. Okay. Yeah. So here we go. Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Here we go. Look what it says. Everyone's there worshiping him. Look at, I mean, and there's so much when it comes to worshiping. Verses that talk about worshiping God. But I love this one because it said, earlier it said they sang a new song. Look what it says here. 96, mm-hmm. verses 1 through 3. It says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Right? That's what's taking place
yeah.
here mm-hmm. in heaven. Mm-hmm. This is what we're supposed to be doing now, practicing. So when we get there, we're going to be singing this song. Mm-hmm. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good mm-hmm. news of his what?
Salvation.
Day, from day to day, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among some peoples, few peoples,
all
peoples. All peoples. Here, let me read the next three verses. I put there, gave myself some time. Mm-hmm. Verse 4 through 6. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and
majesty.
That word majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Oh man, we can go on and on.
98.
Psalm 98?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
1 and 2.
Which one?
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I'll read 3 and 4 and then we'll end there. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. Phenomenal. But next week, in chapter 6, it's gonna get pretty bad. But this is, you know, this, and I say this, there's a bittersweet aspect to our faith, right? Because for those who are believers, we have glory waiting for us. We have this amazing celebration that we are going to participate in. But what about those who reject? Right? This is what's happened. No, she gets
okay.
No, yeah, she's good. Yeah, yeah, thanks.
She wants more water?
No, but sometimes the water makes her. Yeah, she gets this. Yeah, she's been dealing with this, but thanks, guys. So, comments? Questions?
This is for Lazaro concerning his previous statement of Hebrews. It says here in the preface of Hebrews in my study Bible that it was probably written before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70 because the religious sacrifices and ceremonies are referred to in the book, but no mention is made of the temple's destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was she talking about there, Tony?
I'm talking about the book of Hebrews, not that it was...
Oh, the book of Hebrews.
He said he heard that it was... It's written about 300 AD.
No. There's a lot of commentaries.
70.
A lot of commentaries.
Probably yeah. before 70 AD.
Yeah.
It was invented in the between 60 and 70.
I think the popular date is around 64 around there.
Yeah.
I think the Book of Revelation is the final book, right? Mm-hmm. 80, 90, something
could be
like that.
Like 80 to 90, I think.
All the other books
yeah.
are
right. say that.
Yeah.
yeah. But anyway, that's
well, nobody knows who wrote the Hebrews.
Right. If they do, they're not telling.
They're not telling.
Anyway, yes, it's an amazing celebration that we're going to be a part of, that we're going to be there worshiping because of what Christ did.
Yeah.
So this is why we rejoice.
Yeah.
But then this is why also we're saddened, because the people that don't know Christ don't have this hope.
No.
And
a lot of people don't
I'm sure
know
we know
Christ.
People that, you know, my mom, you know, she was as sweet as they come.
Yeah.
But my mom never wanted to talk about
Dad.
I used to take my mom and my dad to church with me.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, I said to Christ, I baptized him. My mom, I said to Jesus Christ, and I baptized her.
Mm-hmm.
When that had that thing that happened to me out of my body,
mm-hmm.
a bright light took me out, like somebody holding on to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw my body. Okay, who was? Guess who was kneeling next to my body?
Your mom.
That's after
my
mom.
Mother.
After she had passed away.
Yeah, after she
right,
passed
right,
away.
Yeah.
And she was young and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to have a glorified body.
Yeah. And so, I saw her. She's alive.
So, Al, what were you going to say about your mother? That she never wanted to talk about that?
Yeah, so, like, people that don't know the Lord, don't have that peace, they're terrified. They don't know. Well, you know, they're, which a lot of, you know, it's a normal thing.
But
it's saddened me.
They often don't want to admit it.
Huh?
They often don't want to admit it.
They don't want to admit what?
That they're terrified.
Yeah, well, she would just tell me, Dad, oh, I don't know what's there. And I was like, Mom, yes, the Lord's there waiting for you. That's the beauty.
No, the ironic thing is that in our early Bible study days, remember that she went to fire?
Mm-hmm.
And
she
we had the tape. Finder's a middle school where
school,
we used to meet.
Yeah.
We used to meet at night, and she went, and I remember she received the Lord that day, but that was it. Like after that, there was never so.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Even
you know,
though she confessed it and all that, and but she never wanted.
They
to talk
said
about
the great atheist philosopher Voltaire, was that the
Voltaire?
They said that. Towards the end, you know, he used to say terrible, you know,
mm-hmm.
that he said terrible things about God, but, you know, he made it clear that, you know, God doesn't exist and you don't waste your time. And they said towards the end, as he was coming near death, that he was terrified
mm-hmm.
because he didn't have that peace. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, it's a normal thing, but that's the sad part of our faith.
Yeah.
Loved ones that we have that don't, that reject Christ, that don't, you know. And my father too. My father was poor when he kicked in all the way to the end. And, you know, I don't know if you know people that are like that, but it's painful. It's sad. It's painful and it's sad.
When I accepted Christ, God never gave up on me. He never left me or forsake me.
No, because he won't ever leave you.
Until I accepted Christ. And I used to go to this church.
Mm-hmm.
The pastor come out. She's my mom and my dad. How do you like your son now? I go, I love him great. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. But, yes. Any more comments? Questions? The lessons together is one, man. You're
Bible?
Like, that's it. The game is won. The basketball champ. I don't have to discuss anything.
How do we know for the Bible who's responsible for the coffee?
For the what?
The coffee.
The coffee?
Yeah, who's responsible for the coffee?
For the coffee here?
Yeah, to prep the coffee for people in a group setting.
Who's responsible?
Yeah.
Okay.
Men. Hebrews.
Oh.
It's a joke.
Okay, good one. Okay, guys.
I'm scared of answering.
Yeah.
My wife says that to the Hebrew one.
All right, guys. Well, we'll end it. Hang on a little bit more.
What time is it?
Hebrews.
Yeah, 7:53.
Good time.
All right, guys. Okay. Father, thank you, Lord, for such a glimpse of what's going to take place when we're all there in front of you, in front of our loved ones,
mm-hmm.
in front of angelic choirs, creatures that are just hard to imagine how they look, Lord. We're all going to be there worshiping and celebrating and praising you, Lord, because you did it all for us, Father, all by your grace, all because of your love for us. What a merciful and good and just mighty God you are, Father. And just we're so grateful, and we pray that we would stay humble and we will continue to seek you and serve you, Father, as we wait for you to call us home.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your word. Thank you for everyone here. Again, thank you for all the ministries and families that are part of what's taking place here tonight. We love you, Father. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
How are you feeling?
Better.